following broadcast is brought to you by the Communication and Media Studies Department of Dominican University of California. Hello, and welcome to Working 24-8, a podcast show all about the life and legacy of NBA legend Kobe Bryant. Many of you know him as the man that dropped 81 points on the Toronto Raptors, or the guy that took over the Los Angeles Lakers, but there is a lot more to him than that. Kobe Bryant was a human being, someone who impacted the world, and I'm excited to share that side of him. Let's get right to it. Welcome back to another episode of Working 24-8, all about the life and legacy of NBA superstar Kobe Bryant. So I have a special guest on my podcast today. He's probably the only Kobe fan that could possibly compete with me when it comes to knowledge and passion about Kobe Bryant as a whole. He is a basketball player himself. He's also a rapper. I'll let him spit some knowledge about himself when I'm asking him questions and stuff. So I guess without further ado, I'm going to introduce Christopher Bracey from Michigan. He goes by GWAP248. It's kind of ironic because that's his area code, 248. You know, the jersey numbers Kobe Bryant has, 24 and 8. It's kind of cool, I guess, but I'm just going to dive right into it. So, Chris, tell me how Kobe Bryant has impacted your life. Just go ahead. Just spill some knowledge on us.
Wow, that's a big question right off the bat. Kobe has affected my life in many ways, all the way from around Detroit. Well, I'm actually from Auburn Hills. If you guys know anything about basketball, NBA, the Pistons used to play in Auburn Hills at the Palace, and that's where I grew up, right around the corner. My fandom started young. I actually saw Kobe play in the finals in 2004 against Detroit when they lost, and I was the only fan there crying because Kobe lost. So this was a long time ago, but my fandom has started since then, even before then. And the way he's affected me is, I really would never have moved to California if it wasn't for Kobe. And I always wanted to live out here. And I always loved the culture, and especially the Lakers and basketball and Kobe himself. And he's molded me into thinking about how to attack every day, how to be better every day, and how to conquer every challenge. So what they call that, the Mamba mentality. And I definitely knew that was his mindset before he started coining the phrase. So that's how he's affected my life.
Cool. Thank you for that answer. So you mentioned Mamba mentality, which is a great leeway into my next question. How would you define Mamba mentality for yourself and your life? How do you, you know, with your rapping, with your love for basketball, just with your life in general, how would you apply like the phrase Mamba mentality to your life, and what does that phrase mean to you specifically?
So relatively new to my life is making music and rapping, but before that, I used to play basketball all the time, football. Used to just play with my friends back in the hills, you know, back in Auburn Hills. And anytime I was playing basketball, I would always want to get better. And one of my favorite players to watch was Kobe. And his offensive skill set, all the moves that he does, I always tried to emulate those. And that's what really made me like learn the game of basketball. And then with rapping, you know, I just I just try to get better every day. That's how it is. I try to attack every session, every lyric. I try to get better every day. That is the main goal. That is one of the main things that Kobe taught me. And there's more to that as well, but that's one of the main things for sure.
So if you were to have a conversation with Kobe just randomly, or if you ever met him, what would be like the first question you ever had, or what questions would you have for him, or what would you say to Kobe if he just walked in the room and just poof, just appeared? What would you do? What would you say? Kind of curious.
Man, I don't know. I would probably lose my mind. You know, I'd probably just be screaming like, "Ah, oh my God!" But honestly, like, I wouldn't ask him a question. I would just tell him that, like, "Yo, you're the rawest to ever do it, man. People don't respect the way that you mastered your craft, and that's why you're my favorite player." I would just honestly just tell him that, because I didn't think he heard that enough, and especially before he passed. So I would have just told him, you're the greatest player I've ever seen on the offensive end, scoring wise, post work, footwork, mid-range, off the dribble three. Just, it's insane how talented he was. And I would try to do his moves, and you know, it wouldn't work out because it was so complicated sometimes. But just trying to be like Kobe made me a good basketball player, and I put my own little spice on it. But I'm more like Steph than Kobe, but there's that Mamba mentality in me when I play basketball, and I definitely took all of that from him. And I just, people don't know. Kobe was doing this stuff before Steph. He was pulling up from half court before Steph. So people don't know that Kobe was lethal from the 3-point line. And I just like to let everybody know that he had it in all facets of the game.
So I remember I took you to Mamba Sports Academy, or it's now Sports Academy. And I mentioned on a previous episode just my experience working there, working for Kobe. I'm just curious, just getting your point of view, what you experienced when you went there, even though you didn't work for Kobe or work there. Like, was there anything, was it a surreal moment for you, or how are you feeling when you got to go into just a building Kobe owned and took over for a period of time before he passed away? What emotions, what feelings were going through your head in that moment?
My main emotion was jealousy, because I didn't get to work for him or see him and even meet him, and that was my main emotion. But other than that, it was, you know, it honestly felt empty when I got there, because the sign was down, Mamba Academy, and it was, the gym was empty itself, you know. It just didn't feel the same, but it was still awesome to go there and actually say that I was there, and to see it on the TV screen and actually be there was completely different, and that was really cool. I just wish I could have been there when he was still there, when he was alive, because I would have told him everything I said before. But you know, I'm glad that when he died, people really paid attention and gave him praise, because he didn't get a lot of that, and people don't remember all of the hate and all of the anger that used to go towards Kobe, not only on the basketball court but off the basketball court. And I still remember that. That's why I'm his biggest fan, because I remember those days, and I stuck through with him that whole time. And you know, honestly, when he died, I felt like, who are these new fans, who are these people trying to act like they were fans, but you know, he touched people in different ways, so it's always going to be like that. I mean, when somebody dies, they touch people in different ways, so it's always going to be different for somebody.
So we've talked about how he's had an impact basketball wise while he was in the league, and you mentioned how when you went to Mama Sports Academy, how it felt empty. I guess you can maybe agree with me when it comes to just the NBA itself without Kobe being here. I mean, he'll always live on forever in his legacy, but since he's passed, I guess, do you feel in any way that the NBA or just basketball in general has some sort of emptiness to it because of the fact that Kobe's gone, or how do you feel about that?
Yeah, I do. And I felt like that before he died as well. I felt like that when he was getting older and after he tore his Achilles, when he was hurt and he missed the season opener and he missed a bunch of games. But the NBA, for me as a fan, was never the same without Kobe. And once he passed, I realized that everybody in the NBA felt that same way. And it really felt good when the day after he passed, or whatever that award was at that day, all the NBA players let the shot clock go to 24. They took a 8-second backcourt violation, and I don't know, that moment really was really deep, and I really felt it when they did that. That was really an awesome thing that they did, and it just showed all the love that the players had. The young players would tell you he was like Michael Jordan to them, and you could see it, and you can see it now still. And to me, he was like Michael Jordan, but to me, he was even better. Not just emotionally, but I always thought Kobe was the best basketball player I've ever seen. And not only basketball, but he became a mentor off the court later in his career. And he touched a lot of people in different ways through the film industry, through women's basketball, through everything. It's great to see him apply that mentality in all areas of his life.
So last week, on my episode, I talked about how Kobe's death affected me both when I, basketball-wise, in my life. How, I guess I have to ask you, when you found out Kobe died, how did you feel? What emotions ran through your head? I guess you touched on it a little bit, but I guess how did Kobe's death impact you as a person, as a basketball player, just in any way? I guess, how did that impact you?
Well, I mean, at first I definitely didn't believe it. And, you know, I always looked at Kobe as like a superhero. You know, I didn't think he would ever get hurt. You know, I just thought that can never happen to him. And when it did happen, I felt, I don't know, I was just in disbelief. But after, when everybody in the NBA was showing how much they cared and what the things that they did to show their support, it really made me feel appreciative that all these people felt some type of way or felt the same way I did. And after his death, it's kind of a combination. It was Kobe's death and it was Nipsey Hussle's death, but both of them really inspired me to just go after what I want to do. And I've been writing music for decade now, I don't know, a long time, and I was always afraid to actually make it, get on the mic, perform in front of people. And after that day, I just was ready to live my life and not be scared, and just try to live it. as much as I could before it all ended. And you never know. Sometimes you never know what it does. And in that way, he definitely changed my perspective on life.
So clearly, Kobe Bryant has had an impact just on everyone's life, including yours, mine, and that's why my whole podcast is, it's called Working 24/8, and instead of 24/7, it's 24/8, and that's kind of how I played along with it. But I guess it's cool to hear your story and how Kobe's impacted you to live your life and have that Mamba mentality. And I guess, is there anything else you'd like to say before our time's up here about just yourself? You want to give the people your, I mean, I already told them your Guap 248 and your rapper name, but if you want to share anything else about yourself, about your super fan, your super fandom for Kobe, you have anything, any last words?
Yeah, I mean, I don't even want to talk about myself. I just want to talk about Kobe, and I just want to say to everybody, don't debate me. Kobe is the greatest player that ever lived, and I will debate anybody who wants to debate me, because I am his super fan, okay? He is the greatest offensive scoring threat to ever play in the NBA, and I will fight somebody over that, okay? He is the greatest post-game footwork scorer I've ever seen. Greatest mid-range shooter I've ever seen. Greatest contested shot maker I've ever seen. Nobody's ever made harder shots than Kobe. Greatest clutch player I've ever seen. He hit the most game winners in NBA history. And the most underrated off-the-dribble three-point shooter that's ever played the game. And I just want everybody to know that. Not to mention 9-time all defense, first team. So just want everybody to know that Kobe really was one of the, I mean, to me, he's the greatest to ever do it. So I just want people to know that, and that's where I stand, and I am the real super fan, okay?
Cool. Well, if anyone wants to know, Snapchat's Young Kobe 24/7/7. That's even important, but he's a pretty big super fan. Like I said, is the only person that could possibly compete with me when it comes to loving Kobe. But unfortunately, that is all the time that we have. Already gone over 2-minute mark for my podcast, but who really cares? Because That's the minimum time we're allowed to have, and I'm glad that I was able to spend time talking with you about your love for Kobe, Chris, and I'm thankful you were on my podcast. And for all of you who listen, I'm not sure how many of you do, but you heard it first. We have the biggest super fan of Kobe Bean Bryant right here on the Penguin Radio website. So I appreciate all of you guys for listening to this week's episode. If you would love to debate Chris or hit him up, talk your mess or anything, I'm sure he'll be open and love to talk to you guys. So with all that being said, peace, love, and Mamba out.